So good afternoon. Thank you for being here. I'm a master's student at the University of Minnesota studying cover cropping and nitrogen fixation in organic systems. But today, as mentioned, I'll be talking about options for including cover crops in high tunnel rotations. And this is a kind of a culmination of research, three research projects with our lab at the University of Minnesota, as well as knowledge from the co-authors of using cover crops and high tunnels, and mostly in the upper Midwest, but also in the Pacific Northwest and the Northeast. So this, though we are at our national conference, a lot of the context that I'll be talking about in high tunnels will be focused on the northern states, just for that's important to this introduction. So first I'm going to introduce you to high tunnels, and in case anyone is unfamiliar with this tool, high tunnels are semi-permanent unheated hoop houses, and that's usually a heavy plastic covering a metal frame, but they come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. And in high tunnels, growers plant directly into the ground instead of raised beds or tables, as you often see in a greenhouse. And there are warmer days and slightly warmer nights in high tunnels. And that facilitates a longer growing season. That's the season extension that I was talking about, where growers are able to extend the season in the spring and fall, and in the south, obviously, you can also probably grow through the winter. And high tunnels produce high-quality fruit and vegetables that can fetch premium prices, especially when they're in a slightly off-season from what other people have in the open field, and that's especially true for organic producers. And high tunnel use by growers has also been increasing in recent years. This is a lot of it is due to a program through the NRCS established in 2009 called the EQIP program, which offers cost share to growers to put up high tunnels. And since that time, over 12,000 new tunnels have been constructed in the U.S. So there are a lot of benefits to high tunnels, and a lot more growers are using them now. But intensive production for those high-value cash crops and high tunnels has led to some problems. And so I'll talk about high tunnel challenges. And some of the high tunnel challenges, especially the soil health challenges, are pretty similar to the open field with intensive production. So you have an overall decrease in soil health with loss of organic matter, soil structure and compaction, and pest and disease pressure. But there are also unique challenges. You get really giant weeds often in high tunnels very quickly, especially in the spring when light and heat levels come up really quickly, and a buildup of salinity and nutrient and pH imbalances. And this is really due to a lack of rain so you don't have the water washing salts and nutrients through the soil profile like it would outside. And with the intensive use in tunnels, growers often use intensive inputs, which can then increase salinity and nutrient levels and lead to decreased productivity and decreased yield after a number of years. And among a suite of methods to address these problems, I'll be focusing on cover cropping, which is still a fairly unusual technique for high tunnels. So cover crops, as you may or may not be familiar, are grown for harvest, or not for harvest, but can be used for a number of benefits, such as adding diversity to a system, and for improving soil health. And so in a high tunnel, cover crops in rotation can increase organic matter, disrupt pest and disease cycles, and maintain soil structure and tilth, suppressing weeds. And also, if you have legumes in your rotation, they can add nitrogen without adding excess salinity to the soil. We have also found that cover cropping in high tunnels is a little different from the open field. So I'll talk about some management considerations with that. Important aspects are the same. There's seeding, irrigation, and termination. But within these categories, specifics are different. So with seeding, planting cover crops in high tunnels requires smaller equipment than the field, especially if you can't get a tractor into your tunnel. You can broadcast seeds and rake them in, as in the picture on the left. You can also use an earthway or walk behind six-row seeder, as seen in this picture on the right, for more uniform stands. And then irrigation is necessary in high tunnels because it's not going to rain. And for cash crops, growers will use drip irrigation, but this is fairly, it doesn't really get good coverage with cover crops, and also you want to use sprinklers or overhead watering just because taking drip irrigation out after the cover crops are really big before you want to terminate is a pain. And termination itself can require a lot of creativity because cover crops get really huge in high tunnels, even over shorter planting periods with those warmer days, especially with overwintered cover crops. And if you can't fit the tractor into your high tunnel, you have to have kind of a multi-pronged strategy for termination. And if a farmer only uses non-mechanized equipment, like this broad fork shown in this picture, cover crops have to be terminated a lot earlier when they're smaller in order to adequately kill and incorporate them. In every case, a grower wants to terminate cover crops before seed set or seed maturity to avoid them becoming weedy. And the most common method, of course, is mowing and letting the cover crop dry for a few days on the surface, and then tilling to incorporate the biomass. And some possible tools besides a tractor for these processes are for mowing. You can use walk-behind flail mowers, which is actually what's in this picture on the far left. It looks like a lawnmower, but it's more like a walk-behind weed whacker, actually. You can also use weed whackers, small riding mowers, and a push mower if your cover crops are really, really small, but they're usually not very effective. Very tall cover crops may even need to be hand-cut before mowing, as you can see some sad undergrads in the top photo doing that task. And then tilling is usually a BCS or another kind of walk-behind tiller or rototiller. So the operations are a scaled-down version of outside cover cropping, but one of the other main challenges for farmers is fitting cover crops into those tight high tunnel rotations. So you're asking, when is there time and space for a cover crop? And so let's talk a little bit about cover crop timing. And so they can be grown any time of year, but fitting them in depends on the preferred cash crop timing. And so this is kind of just a simplified view of some of those cash crop timings, like you can grow your full season crops, some more summer crops, or spring and fall. And then here are some common seasonal windows for cover crops within that, planted around those cash crops. And some of these will fit into a farmer's system and priorities a little better than others, so I'll go through some of these options individually. The first one I'll talk about is fall planted winter kill, which is a very common rotation. So you plant in the late summer, early fall, and the cover crop dies in the winter cold. Once again, I'm kind of talking about the northern U.S. and especially the upper Midwest, where it's very easy to kill things in the winter. Very cold. And then you till the dead biomass or plant directly into it in the spring. And this is easier to maintain and manage with less equipment because the cover crop basically terminates itself. And then the grower can plant earlier or with more flexibility in the spring. And species, of course, have to be adaptable to your region. For example, in the upper Midwest, tillage radish reliably dies in the winter, but that's not true of zones, plant hardiness zones 5 or warmer. And another consideration with fall planted overwintering is that, the next one I'm going to talk about is fall planted winter hardy. And so that's a little longer rotation where you plant in the late fall early fall or late summer. And the plants are dormant during the winter and then put on fresh biomass in the spring before termination. And this provides the benefits of living roots in the soil over the whole winter, which supports aggregate stability and soil microbial populations. And legumes can provide spring nitrogen fertility for the cash crop when they're tilled in, but don't add to like the salinity levels, as I was saying earlier. And a study in Arkansas of cover cropping in high tunnels found that high tunnel tomato yield increased in plots following overwinter legume cover crops compared to control plots that were bare. And a similar study that we did in Minnesota found no increase in electrical conductivity, which is a measure of salinity, in cover crop plots compared to bare controls. And in very cold climates, like in northern Minnesota, there's some extra considerations with these overwintering plantings of cover crops. Heavy fall watering is really important because there's usually no water source in the tunnels during the winter. Because it's below freezing almost the whole time. Closing the high tunnel sides prevents cover crop desiccation, which can be a major cause of mortality during the winter months. And then extra warmth and protection from water loss can be provided by floating row cover, as you can see in this picture. And this is used in two experiments that we did at the University of Minnesota and seemed to really help both with preventing the cover crops from drying out and just general survival, and to protect a little bit from that high temperature fluctuation that you see in high tunnels during the winter. It gets down very cold at night, almost the same temperature as outside, but in the daytime it's very hot, comparatively. And then spring-planted cover crops usually are planted pretty early in the spring and then terminated right before you plant a summer crop. And this is great for growers who start to transplant their cash crops much later in the spring or early summer. And this is great for frost-tolerant, or cover crops have to be frost-tolerant species that will germinate in cold soils and then can be planted as soon as the soil can be worked in the spring and terminated and incorporated before that cash crop. Spring cover crops don't grow to full size or maturity usually in that short window, but younger plant material has a higher nitrogen content than longer growing cover crops, and so it can add a pretty nice amount of nitrogen if you're using legumes in that system. We found in a 2015 study of spring planted stuff at the University of Minnesota that red clover provided between 23 and 30 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, which is pretty good. And then summer planted cover crops are planted in the early summer and terminated in the late summer, and they can be helpful where summers are too hot to grow well in the tunnel, or a summer cash crop is just not earning that price premium because the market is flooded with other summer crops. And species in these kind of rotations need to be pretty heat tolerant and sometimes also drought tolerant. And lastly, a grower can incorporate cover crops spatially through intercropping. And this is also called pathway cropping. And cover crops are sown in the aisles between the cash crops as a living mulch. And this can help reduce compaction, and where you have kind of like ponding in your pathways, sometimes it'll reduce muddiness and improve trafficability, among other things. And great species for pathway cropping are clovers because they're low growing and shade tolerant and also tolerant to foot traffic. And so some conclusions from this are the challenges to high tunnel use are increasing with intensive production, even though growers really love using high tunnels and they're a great tool. So soil health is a growing concern. And adding cover crops can improve soil quality and decrease the need for nutrient inputs. But it can be really difficult to grow cover crops seemingly at the expense of cash crops, and management is slightly different from the open field and varies with region. But luckily, there are lots of options for rotations in different seasonal and spatial windows, and there are many species adapted to different situations. So growers can tailor a rotation to their needs and style with a little experimentation and be on the way to better soil health and greater diversity in their high tunnels. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors who have done a lot of work on these topics over the years, and other members of my lab at the University of Minnesota, as well as great photographers from the lab who took a lot of these photos, farmer and local organizational collaborators, as well as research and outreach center staff and funding sources, and eOrganic. Thank you for bringing me here. And I will take a few questions. So the question was, what's the reception like in Minnesota for cover crops and high tunnels? And that's a great question. There haven't been too many surveys on this, and I think growers are certainly reluctant to use time to do that. But in Minnesota, we also have that very, very cold winter where you can't really grow cash crops in the high tunnel during that period anyway, but things like hairy vetch and winter rye and red clover will reliably survive. And so I think it might be a little easier maybe in northern regions to convince people to use cover crops during that, like, dead period.
Yeah. Intercrops clover, do you irrigate that? Is that overhead irrigation? What's the plan if you're going to have, like, your regular cash crop and then your intercrop, where you're going to tromp all over the clover, right? So how are you irrigating all of these plants?
The question was how you would irrigate the intercropped pathway plants. And that's a great question. I think because these studies are in places where you do get a lot of summer rain, I found that if you irrigate at the beginning when you're establishing with overhead and then put in drip for the cash crops, they seem to survive okay. But I think in drier places, that would be tricky, and that's a good thought. Like, that might be difficult to maintain that, and you might have to use sprinklers.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Charlotte.
Thank you.